My friend Gavri has been providing uplink services. Gavri has been providing uplink services for the news agencies here for many years. He's a son of a kibbutz, did his military service during the 1967 war, did reserve service in the 1973 war, and has been providing these uplink services to the news agencies of the world ever since. The Gaza, the withdrawal, the going in, the staying in, the intifadas, 82 in Lebanon. Gavri, I understand you just came back from a month in Matula on the border, and I would like to ask you about your impressions of what it's like up there. What is the army doing there? I mean, you have some military experience. You must have a feeling.
I just came back from Matula 4 days ago. I twisted my ankle and I came to rejuvenate myself, to recuperate, actually. And fighting in the north, ever since it started, the exchange of rockets on the 12th of July, I believe it was on the 12th of July, right after the kidnapping. Nobody knew, nobody understood, and nobody realized that the 6 years of preparation of Hezbollah digging in bunkers along the northern border would actually be erupted to a huge exchange and confrontation with the Israeli army that knew about the whole plan and saw everything, and the intelligence knew everything, but no one was ready as usual. No one understood that for Hezbollah to open a front and firing rockets from Hedera to and covering the whole north and cause over a million and a half people, the life is erupted. They cannot go to work. The children cannot be on a holiday. And they don't care. They're supported by Iran. And the Iranian, with no Hitler, this is only part one of the show. Part three of the show will be with the Iranian with nuclear weapon ready to throw the same rockets with a nuclear warhead. Doesn't matter if it's falling on an Arab village or in Haifa Jewish neighborhood. This is the goal, and this is the aim, and this is absolutely stage number one.
Do you have a feeling as to why the army is taking so long to finish this process?
The army wasn't ready to go for a whole all-out in 82 we confronted the Fatah, Arafat people, and Sharon knew exactly what he was doing, and without the government consent, he pushed Arafat right out of Beirut. I was there. I remember the first day I got into Lebanon with a camera on my shoulder. The third day I was already in Baabd. Everything worked absolutely like Joshua, Yeshua bin Nun army. Everything worked out perfectly. Now it's different. We have a new prime minister. We have a new defense minister. Everyone in the area now is new. No one is knowing. And this was a test. The army wasn't really, didn't have a plan how to react immediately. The political people, the politics people didn't give a clear instruction of the army what to do. So everything was an hesitation. The army in 82 were 8 division deployed to go to run over Lebanon. When I saw this last month, there wasn't even, they said there were 10,000 soldiers in Lebanon, but it's not true. There are only few thousand soldiers are hitting the Hezbollah in villages and coming right back. This was a strategy. The chief of staff, which is the Air Force man, he believes in doing everything in the air. And you cannot finish people who are dug in into bunkers. You cannot finish them off. They will continue rocket, and you could hit them from the air from morning to night. It will not help. They will still come out, and they will rocket right back after the planes are gone. So I believe that only now, as I'm speaking now, the government already gave an okay for a massive incursion into Lebanon. So this first month of fighting was a complete hesitation. Nothing was done. Nothing was. There were other things. Of course, you know. I'm not saying the Israeli army didn't achieve anything. We still bombed the infrastructure, bridges, artillery depots, and all kind of things. And we gave Lebanon back a taste of their own medicine with the Hezbollah, of course, and we bombed Beirut day after day, and there are a lot of casualties on the other side. But we have a million people, refugees. They are going to Eilat and Tel Aviv and Ashkelon, but they don't look as bad as the refugees from Beirut, which they're very pictorial to film.
You work with the foreign press. You probably have coffee, you have lunch, you eat out of the same the same bag, you drive in the same vehicle. It's the feeling of many of us, more and more, that the foreign press is destroying us. I mean, refuses to see anything but us as the villain, and refuses to see anything in the Hezbollah or the Arabs or the Palestinians or whoever it might be as the victim. And I'm wondering if you have that feeling, and if you do, how do you work with these people every day?
The foreign press is biased to the Arabs. They are presenting this is what it looks. You turn on CNN, BBC in particular, Sky less, but not all the foreign press. There's Fox are very pro-Israelis, and we know why. We know the management of Fox. You know what they represent, and they're doing a great job. Not because it's great for us, because we believe it's the truth, and they project it very nicely. But as a whole, the foreign news, especially the European, there's no secret. News, like all television, first of all, it's a show. It's Hollywood. It's rating, and it's always nicer to bring the suffering of Arabs who look very visual, running away from homes and bombing, and their children, and they're expert in doing this show. They are selling it from Intifada number one. They're expert in turning something that they create a mess, and they're turning it back, and the whole world feels sorry for them. They're doing, the Lebanese and the Palestinian are expert to deliver the suffering through the television. We are not, our refugees are going with buses in order, we take care of them, we send them to Eilat, we send them CBS, ABC, CNN, Fox, NBC. It's a more balanced reporting. And there's a European foreign press. And the point that I was trying to project before is the rating. The Arabs selling the rating better. They're selling it better than us. For the BBC, or for RTL Holland, it's selling a better selling point than television, a better rating to show Lebanese civilian being hit and children being killed, than to show it in Haifa, which actually happened the same thing. And even enhance this point, especially the European, that we have a history with them. We have a long history with them. There's a huge guilt complex with the European of going back to the Holocaust. And every time they have an opportunity to show us and to remind us and to tell us, listen, you are doing what we closed the eyes to in the 40s in Europe, you are not that much better than the German. And, of course, they are exaggerating. They want to do it for their own conscience. And they're not succeeding very well. They're not succeeding because the majority of the viewers worldwide, they know that what Israel is, that we are a head of a pin amongst a billion and a half Muhammadans. Muslim represent Islam, which is peace, but Muhammad is pursuing the sword. And we are a pin, we are dropping the ocean. And it doesn't take much intelligence to figure out who's wrong and who's right. And besides, just you could look at the world map of wars and see that in almost 100% war conflicts in the map of the world, the Muhammadis are being involved. They are part of it. As far as television, this is the main thing, is a rating.
What I also was trying to understand is, how does it feel to you personally to sit in a car or a van and drive for, 3 hours to Metula with people who you know are going to portray us, we, your people, you, your children, in such a terrible way and dishonestly.
I'm very happy to sit with these people. I'm in an independent company. I give them a shtick of my mouth, tell them exactly what I feel, and they know I'm right, and we discuss it on the way to Metula. I don't know if I can affect the report. I don't believe. This is what their spectators, their kahal, how do you say, the audience expects to see, and they deliver the goods. I can only, as Israeli, show them my point of view. Maybe at some points I could, if there's some sensitive intelligent reporter that is can also bring our side of the story, maybe I feel that I'm doing a service to it. But I've been working with a lot of anti-Semites, like I will even tell you the name. There are many of them, and there's nothing you can do. They won't work with my cameraman, they will work with the English cameraman. This is the difference between also a big point.
There is a war going on, and we are in one of the hubs of where this war is being covered and exported. At this point, we're in the control room of the uplink system.
EBU satellite, you did this transmission with Paula not a few days ago. And you've done. You just do a normal booking. Origin Metula, Orcom circuit to EBU. Just like we do from Gaza and Ramallah. Yes. Okay, that's fine. Just send me a normal booking. I'll coordinate everything for you.
They appear to be recording live from the roof of this building where the satellite dishes sit. Background, I can see Jerusalem. Sitting down here, he's ordering and directing the placement of the reporter so that it'll be a properly shot sequence. And if this was in video, you'd be able to see how it's done. You're probably actually seeing it on your television screens wherever you happen to be.
Analysts say this change doubles as a sign of weakness and a big morale boost for the guerrilla.
Okay, live. The whole world is live.
Well, we'll hear what he's talking about. I don't know.
The Israeli military has made an unusual change in the middle of the fighting. Its chief has named his deputy to head the Lebanese operation. The Israeli military has made an unusual change in the middle of the fighting. Its chief has named his deputy to take over the Lebanese operation and sideline the commander.
From here, he's directing the cameraman on the roof to set the shot exactly the way he wants it, the way he feels the shot should look. More headroom, a little more to the left, a little more to the right, and that's how you control the world. A bit of headroom, that's all we need. You can hear him repeating the same phrases over and over again, and each time they change the shot a little bit to fill the color in on his face, to adjust exactly how he should be standing, shoulders this way, head slightly turned. Now he's going to do it all over again. If you think this kind of work is easy, imagine going crazy, repeating the same sentence over and over and over and over again. And he promises now that he's not going to move. He's just going to stand in place.
Ah.
Okay. Is this going out live?
For Metula, we'll have live in. This is going live from Jerusalem. We have live soon from. Later on, we'll have from Metula. Metula.
You have a dish in Metula that projects down to here or projects up?
I have a fiber optic that comes to here from there.
You ran fiber optic to Metula, of course. Gavri, have you heard these stories about the how they've caught various news people having doctored photographs, having doctored stories?
Say, Reuters had.
Reuters had one. I saw one of.
From Beirut, they've. Shaping up some,
right, the clouds. And now the founder of the New York Times has taken a picture of a man killed in an attack. And just a few minutes earlier, he was running around showing the reporters where to go and what to shoot. And in his death, he managed to hold on to his hat very tightly.
Okie doke. I'll answer it. I will reply you immediately.
Now they're going to call from London.
From London. They will ask him question, and he will be on a live. On a live transmission.
Do you see any way in which this style of distorted news coverage will change?
As far concerning what? Concerning the covering the news coverage being prejudiced against us, it will continue as long as the Jewish state is irritating a lot of people. Maybe if the news coverage will be changed and will be more favorable to us, maybe we'll be in a deep hole.
That'll be the sign.
We good? All right, here we go again in 3, 2, and 1. The Israeli military has made an unusual change in the middle of the fighting. Its chief has named his top aide to take over the Lebanese operation and has sidelined the current commander. There's been lots of criticism here over the army's failure to stop Hezbollah rocket attacks. And analysts say this change doubles as a sign of Israeli weakness and a big morale boost for the guerrillas. Sagar Meghani, The Associated Press, Jerusalem.
Gavri, I was asking you why you think BBC happens to be the worst.
Well, I believe BBC as a governmental television of the UK, they have a... I believe, I don't know, it's not a written equation, but the English have this thing of Arabs. As Lawrence of Arabia, they saw the native on horses. They are enchanted with the Arabs. They are completely, they are imprisoned with the images. And they're pursuing, they're promoting the image of the Arabs. They believe, since the mandate here, where they try to play the role of the mediator between the Arabs and the Jews, they were always pro-Arabs. And the BBC are notorious for it, from all the English companies. Sky is not so bad. Sky are trying to be more or less balanced. They will show some pro-Israeli view, some Arab view, but the BBC is number one. You could quote me as Gavri Hefer saying it. I have no problem with it.
And how are they to work with in terms of working with somebody who disagrees with them and who has that those feelings towards them?
Listen, it's like having a panel, you know, with somebody who doesn't exactly agree with you, and they have their own views, and they're absolutely sure that they're doing a service to humanity, and you're trying to tell them, listen, what about us? There is another side here that lives. Why don't you show the people in Haifa they were suffering the barrage of rockets. Why are you emphasizing on Beirut all the time? I mean, as far as people, you work with them. You just, you know, like you work in any other fields with all types of people. We, as far as I'm concerned, we're doing a technical job more or less. We're giving services.